Happy to see you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Glad you're here. As you can tell, Pastor Matt and Susie are out of town. They are enjoying a couple of days of R&R, maybe some rest and relaxation, maybe some rerouting and renovation. Maybe. You never know. But I'm here, and you're here, and Jesus is here, as evidenced by our worship experience tonight. Sometimes it's cool to just kind of sing something old school, unplanned, and let the Lord have his way. Amen. Before we dive into what we're going to talk about tonight, I want to tell you what the students are doing in the back, because I believe the parents need to hear this. This is really cool. We're starting a series back there, or I say we loosely because I'm not back there, but they, under the leadership of Tori Ivy, are going to be starting a series called Devotion. And it's going to be talking about, you know, of course, our devotion to God, God's devotion to us. But also we're going to be challenging them and equipping them and empowering them to lead devotions on their own. And so I want to encourage you, if you have students who are in the youth ministry, to continue coming over these next few Wednesday nights, because tonight they're going to be given the opportunity to choose a topic, to get help from some mentors, to research that topic, and then prepare a 5 to 10 minute devotion that they can lead in front of their peers, and they'll start leading those devotions next Wednesday. So it should be exciting, should be really cool. And so I am encouraged about that, because we want to see our students equipped and empowered, because we believe that if they're available, if they're able to lead a, you know, short devotion, maybe it's for children's ministry. I got to give props to Jaquan Bush. He's done that before in the Splashes class, right, Terry? And came prepared with an object lesson and just like did his homework. And I believe that if they're prepared to do that in front of a jury of their peers who are accepting and rooting for them and pulling for them, they can certainly share the gospel with a complete stranger. They can certainly lead a devotion or a Bible study at their school. And so the goal in mind is that we challenge them to do just that. And we challenge them to kind of break out of their comfort zone. Did you know that the number one fear that people have is public speaking? Everybody know that? And some of you do have the opportunity to speak publicly. Others of you are terrified of that. I mean, you could say, I don't like to speak in front of crowds or people or any of that. Okay. All right, we got some empowered people here tonight. You're like, I could do it. Call me up right now. I'll give a sermon. Who is it? Who wants it? Who is it? All right, man. I love you guys. Well, let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. God, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to just be in your presence, to be full of your Spirit, to be vessels of the Almighty. Thank you that you chose us as your dwelling. You're not in the Ark of the Covenant anymore. The veil has been torn, and because of that, you dwell and make your residence inside of us believers. And we are better for it. Father, I thank you that as we look at your word tonight, as we talk about this heavy topic, that you would take our words and make them make sense. You would, that the hearers would be open and accepting of what you have to say to them. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do your will tonight. Not what we want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys have ever been afraid? Not just of public speaking, but fear in general. Ever experienced fear? Should be like a overwhelming majority of us. I'm no stranger to fear. I remember when I was younger, and many of us have faced a lot of our fears when we grew up, right? How many of you were afraid of the dark as a kid? Right? You are strong people. You are awesome. Either that or you're refusing to participate, and I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I would have such fear of the dark that I would have trouble sleeping unless somebody was with me. I had a twin brother growing up, and my mom would make my brother sleep in we had separate bedrooms, but she would make my brother sleep in the same room as I did, because I was so afraid. I was in third grade, and you've heard me tell this. When I was in third grade, the book Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was popular. Anybody familiar with that? Thank you for participating. Awesome. The two of you who raised your hands. That's great. Well, my third grade teacher thought it was a good idea to read Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark to a bunch of third graders. and instill fear in these children. And I remember one of those stories, and I was dumb enough to actually borrow the series from the library and read them on my own. How stupid is that? But they would read some of these stories to us, and one particular story scared me so bad that I couldn't sleep at all that night. And I would close my eyes, and images of that story would creep in my mind, and I'd pull the covers over my head, and I'd begin like quoting relentlessly and as furiously as I could. Psalm 91:10, no evil shall befall me, no evil shall befall me, no evil shall befall me. You ever found yourself doing that? Like afraid to the point where you don't know what to do. And we have a 6-year-old daughter named Karis, and she has experienced some of the same things, man. And I have to admit, as a dad, it like makes me mad that my kid is afraid. You know? It makes me mad at the enemy. It makes me mad at the world that we live in. It makes me angry, and I'm all like mean mugging and stuff. Like, why are you afraid? You know, and she thinks I'm mad at her, but I'm not mad at you. And I would tell her, you know, hey, I used to experience fear, and here's what I did to overcome it in that regard. However, I do have to admit that I still experience fear to this day. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. You could shut off the lights and I'd be okay. Wouldn't scream like a little girl. But I have experienced fear. And I'll tell some stories on myself just to make you feel like you're in good company tonight. But what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? This is my lovely wife, Kristen, and she and I are going to be co-teaching today. Here's your microphone. You can turn that on. What's been your experience with fear? Oh.
Microphone.
You're afraid of microphones. They have a mind of their own. Is it? Here, grab that orange one right there behind you. Battery. I'm afraid of dead batteries. Okay.
Check.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, fear is one of those things that I have overcome a lot in my short years. But my mom, growing up, she has a mental illness. She has schizophrenia. She has schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia. So that's even worse when it comes to fear, because she thinks everybody's after her. And there's all kinds of people that are after her all the time. And so that was one of those things that was completely instilled in me. I mean, it was like from a very early age, I was afraid of everything. And I would have horrible, horrible, horrible nightmares, just nightmares every single night. And I didn't know what to do with it. I knew that God had power. I knew that I loved Jesus. I had Jesus in my heart, all those things. But it was almost like, I'm sure TV and everything else helped this, but it almost felt like I didn't have power over the fear because I didn't know what to do with it. And you feel like the enemy could get to you somehow. But as I grew up, I knew that the word had power. So I would find my Bible and I would sleep with it because I knew the word itself had power. But my parents, even though I had, you know, nightmares, all the stuff, I would tell them, I'd go into the room, I'd try to sneak into the room and like sleep on the floor, but they would always yell at me. So eventually I just gave up on that. So I didn't know what to do, and they didn't empower me what to do at the time. Thank God I'm free from that in Jesus' name. But, you know, it's one of those things I've always had to overcome. And, now as a parent, I'm like, okay, I know what to do here. We're going to instill this in you. Fear is not what we have to live with. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in fear of the enemy because now we know our authority. Thank God for our authority over the enemy. He has no place in our lives. And so I think it's just really important, even as a parent, as a teen, if you know this stuff, help others. Because many people, including myself, just live in fear.
So true. And fear is rampant throughout the scriptures. Did you realize that the phrase fear not or do not be afraid appears in the Bible 365 times? I don't think that's a coincidence that you're being told not to fear every day of the year. Isn't that amazing? And fear, the word fear in the New Testament language of Greek is the word phobos. Everybody say phobos. What does that sound like?
Phobia.
Okay. So it's where we get our term phobia. But literally, it has the meaning of withdrawal or flight. You know, you have this fight or flight mechanism, you know, like when you're encountered with danger or whatever, you're either going to stand up to it, fight, or you're either going to run away, like the people did in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Run away! But your first instinct when fear comes, if your first instinct when fear comes is to run, that's because fear is doing what it's named for, is to make you flee. Fear is meant to make you flee. Fear is meant to make you withdraw. Fear, I believe, is one of the enemy's number one tactics that he uses to battle believers. Because if he can get you to withdraw, if he can get you to run away, then there is no fight. There is no fight. He's got you defeated. And then fear's ugly cousin, worry, and his evil stepsister, anxiety, and his cousin, he's got a bunch of cousins that are disturbing as well. All of them meant to do one thing, to paralyze us, so that we don't take any action, that we don't advance. We don't advance the kingdom. We don't advance in the plan that God has for us. Fear is meant to make you run away. How many of you have run away in fear before? Run away. Like I was 8 or 9 years old, and we lived about, I don't know, a third of a mile, quarter of a mile, something like that, from my grandparents' house. And so, you know, times were different then. So me and my brother would walk to my grandma's house on a, you know, Friday afternoon or whatever if we got out of school. I was in second or third grade. And there was this house along the way that had a swimming pool, but it had a fence. And so every time we'd walk by the swimming pool, this house at the swimming pool, we would get as close as possible as we could to the fence because we wanted to peer in and see if we could go swimming. So we're walking along, and this one day we just get as close as we can to the fence, and we're looking around, and out of nowhere,
nice.
A dog comes out of nowhere, and we have fight and we have flight, okay? And she's going to rise up. You don't have any Legos, do you? Okay. So what happened was a dog, like a Doberman, like the biggest, scariest, ugliest dog came out. I shouldn't have done that, should I? I'm sorry. Now I'm afraid. This dog came out of nowhere, man, and our first instinct, I should have scared Harry, he would have been more susceptible. This dog came out of nowhere, and our first instinct was to jump the fence and start wrestling this dog, right? Because that's what every 8-year-old does when a Doberman comes out of nowhere and barks at him. No, we start running like a bunch of scared little sapsuckers. We run until we're out of sight, out of distance, and we can't hear the dog barking or anything. Fear is meant to make you run away. Fear is meant to make you run away. And all too often, we give the enemy the power to instill fear in us. Why? Because we don't understand a couple of things. We don't understand our authority. We may not understand the fact that God is with us. Every time, I won't say every time because I'm not exactly sure, but a lot of times when the scripture says an angel appeared to the people and said, do not fear, or the Lord said, do not fear, he said, fear not, for I am with you, right? That sounds familiar. Fear not, for I am with you. So we have to understand, number one, that we're not alone. Everybody say, I'm not alone.
I'm not alone.
I'm not alone. And it can instill some greater confidence in you if you know that you have somebody bigger, stronger, more capable, more able with you. Right? And the other side of this, I am not alone, is that you're not the only person experiencing fear. You're not the only person going through this. A lot of times when this fear has this idea of making us run, but it also has this idea of making us withdraw. And so what happens is when we experience fear, a lot of times we don't want to fess up about it. And when I say fess up, I don't mean like tell the priest and it's a sin or any of that stuff. What I'm saying is that we withdraw, we withhold, we hold it in. We don't want to communicate about this. And a lot of times that has to do with our own pride. And I am very familiar with pride as well. When this whole thing happened with my knee, immediately the first thing that I experienced was one, pain. And I think pain is sometimes a precursor to fear, because pain is loud. Anybody ever experienced pain before? Like, pain has a pretty loud voice. I mean, louder than the dog, louder than my imitation of the dog. Pain is pretty loud. And so pain can also bring with it fear. And so I immediately sensed fear. And I was playing basketball, hyperextended it, many of you know the deal. And immediately couldn't stand on it, put any pressure on it, and like my leg buckled, and I thought, oh man, something's, you start playing through your mind what could be wrong. You start looking up on your MedNow app. I can't feel something, and this, that, and you start just self-diagnose, and that's not healthy to run away fear.
Because, don't Google anything, because you're going to die. I mean, that's pretty much what the internet
says. Yeah, exactly. You could have a blood clot, and if you don't get that fixed, you're dead. So,
I don't get on the internet at all anymore after, you know, trying to put symptoms in there, like, you're going to die. Okay, no, I'm not going to die.
Everything on MedNow leads to you're going to die. Seek medical assistance. That's what we did, though. We sought medical assistance because I thought, well, I can't stand up on this thing. Something's giving me pain. We're going to go to the ER. And then again, you know, everything starts running through your mind. I get the x-rays and I'm like, okay, this is what happens. And then they tell you, okay, go see the orthopedic surgeon. He's going to diagnose you. Well, between that time, there's like 5 days for me to start worrying about what this possibly could be. There's about 5 days for people to see me in a brace with my leg like that on crutches, and for them to say, oh, you must have done this, you must have done that, you must have tore your ACL, you must have tore your PCL, your MCL, your whatever, you know? And so they have ideas, right? This is what could be wrong with you. And to be surrounded by that, it doesn't do anything for your faith. When people start telling you this could be wrong, or you could have broken something, or you could have did that or the other, It doesn't help your faith. And so fear just gripped me during this whole process. Fear gripped me when the diagnosis came back that I had torn my ACL, and the doctor says you have to have surgery. And I'm like, I don't want to have surgery. I just want to use my faith to receive healing. And then fear about what people would think about me if I went through with the surgery started rising up within me. I mean, I battled this thing for a long time. And I remember just bawling like a baby, and Kristen holding me and me saying, I'm afraid. But I was trying to be strong, you guys. Like, I was trying to hold it together. I was trying, like, I would stay up at night with these Keith Moore videos just playing over and over, like trying to get healed. You understand what I'm saying? And then there's doubt. That's another one of fear's cousins. Doubt. So then doubt comes in. Well, you don't know enough about healing to receive your healing. You don't and then what about, what will people think? You know, here you are, you say you believe God is the healer, yet you're having a trouble receiving healing yourself. Can I just be real with you guys tonight? You ever been there? And none of this has changed my mind about who God is. I don't let my situation or circumstance dictate who God is. I understand that from His Word. But there's a missing link somewhere in me. It's not God. God didn't cause this. He didn't allow this. He wasn't the instigator. He wasn't the one who allowed it to happen. He is the healer. He is the great physician. But during this process, I just had to had a decision to make. Am I going to continue trying to get healed? Am I going to continue trying to battle fear on my own and not let anybody in my world because fear is going to try to make me run away? And I finally decided to fess up and say, I'm afraid. I talked to Kristen. I talked to Eddie, and Eddie helped me through some things. I talked to Pastor Matt and Susie, and I said, I've been dealing with fear. And wouldn't you know it, that fear still comes. Fear still comes. The other day, I've been going through physical therapy for about 8 weeks. And the other day, I was doing some physical therapy on my own, and I heard a pop, like a loud one in my knee, and it started hurting. And then it starts again, like the fear whispering in your ear, like nagging at you, like, you tore something else, buddy. That's your meniscus this time, dude. I mean, serious. This is the thing, thoughts that go through your head. And I start moving, and I'm like, no, I'm healed. No, I'm whole. No, you're not getting the best of me this time. No. And I put up a fight. I didn't flee. I didn't run away. I put up a fight. And that's one of the keys to battling fear, is that you have to recognize that fear is meant to make you flight, but you have to put up a fight. And when I say you, I mean you exercising the authority that Jesus has given you, because he is the greater one who is in the who is in you. He's the greater one. He's greater than the world. And so when fear comes, you have to take a stand. You have to take a stand and say, no, that's not who I am. No, that's a lie. Meniscus. I'm healed. Every part of me restored, whole. And I've written on my, we've got these bathroom crayons, bath crayons. I've written all over my bathroom, all over my shower right now. Trust, healed, whole, restored, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Every time I shower, which is every day, sometimes twice a day, because I'm a smelly man, I see those words, and I don't just see them, but I say them. And it comes out of my mouth, and it builds me up in faith, and I sense fear disappearing. Amen?
Yeah, I would say I agree with that as far as taking a stand, because for me personally, growing up in just that environment of fear, it was ingrained in me, and so I had to ingrain something else in me. I couldn't allow that fear to continue in its cycle, because if I allowed it to continue in the cycle, I'd be in the same boat as my mom, you know, and I'm not going to allow that. I said, you know what? The enemy, he is a liar. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, and I'm not going to listen to it anymore. So when I would wake up in the middle of the night in a panic because I thought somebody's coming into my house, you know what I did? I printed out scriptures on fear, on peace, and I read them every single night. For years, I still read them when I get afraid, because I said, you know what? This is my food. This is what I need in this moment, because fear wants to overtake us, and we know that fear is not ours, and we know that peace is ours. But how do you receive that peace in the moment? You have to feed on his word. His word is truth in life, and if we don't feed on it and we just allow the fear to be there, it's going to grow. The fear is going to grow. But we got to let our faith grow. And the way to let our faith grow is through his word. And I know that sounds crazy, but I did the same thing every single night. Every time I'd wake up from a nightmare. Every time I'd wake up in fear or in a panic, I did the same thing. I read Psalm 91. I read Luke 10:19. I read, you know, I have a whole stack of scriptures, and I read them because I knew that's mine. That is mine.
That's right.
What I'm feeling right now is what I'm feeling, but that is mine. And as I read it, I believed it. And as I believed it, that fear continually was driven out of my life. And thank God, I don't wake up at night. I don't wake up in fear at night, because he's freed me. It was already mine, but I had to do something. I had a part to play. You know, our minds can go all kinds of places. And people can tell us all kinds of things, and you get fear from other places. Just our world we live in, you can just live in fear every single day. Just, you know, flu and this and that. I mean, just crime, all this stuff. And it's coming at you every single day. We have to combat it. We cannot just be like, oh, okay, 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 and just receive it. We have to do something. And I really believe that the enemy brings fear in our lives for the very purpose to stop the plan of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like Nate said, I mean, it paralyzes you. It keeps you in that same exact place you were before. And you can't move forward because you're thinking about, oh, what's happened today? What's going to happen in a year from now? What's going to happen tomorrow? You know, is my kids okay? And you live in this place. And I'll tell you where that place ends up. It's not a good place.
Yep.
You're in the same boat you were 10 years ago. But you don't want to be in that place. I know God's speaking to our lives right now. He's telling us things to do. And some mm-hmm. of those things he's telling us to do are bigger than what we can even imagine ourselves doing at this point. And in order to walk in that, we're going to have to be like Joshua. And in Joshua 1, it says, in verse 9, God is telling him, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead the people to possess all the land I swore to the ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. He goes on to say, study this book of instruction continually. Mm. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Woo.
He's with you.
That's good.
He says, be strong and courageous. That's who we are. We're courageous because the courageous one lives in us.
That's right.
And we're not going to live our lives in fear anymore. Whether it's fear of a job, fear of not having someone, whether it's fear of being alone, whether it's fear of getting a sickness, whether it's fear of not having enough, whether it's fear of, you know, whatever. Our kids not following God, or a fear of, you know, something happened to them. No.
Right. I love that passage because it's almost like God's word to Joshua, be strong and courageous, are bookends. Like the whole passage it starts with be strong and courageous. It ends with be strong and courageous, for I am with you. And then in the middle it says, hey, here's how you do that. Here's how you do that. Like study what I've said. Study what I've told you about yourself. Study my promise for your future. Hey, you're going to go in and possess this land. Don't be afraid. Here's how you combat fear. Here's how you put up a resistance against fear. You know, James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and who's going to flee? He will. He's going to be the one fleeing. But so many times he's got believers on the run when he should be the one on the run. If we submit ourselves to God, we submit to God, and submitting to God is not just, God, I'm yours, and then we walk away and we don't do anything about it. Submitting to God is submitting to His Word. Submitting to God is submitting to God's identity for you. Submitting to God is submitting to His authority so that you're in the line of authority, so that when you speak, all of the power of heaven backs you up. That's submitting to God. And then putting up a resistance is about, no, I ain't listening to that. Talk to the hand. It ain't coming in these ears, because I am a child of the Most High God. This is who I am. I am strong. I am courageous. And whatever God said about me, I possess. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. So many passages about not being afraid and taking hold of God's strength and God's power. Why do we give the enemy such power over us? when what we've been given is far greater than any tactic that he would try to use against us? Whose voice is the loudest voice in your life? I want to read a scripture in Philippians 1, verse 28 in the Amplified. It says this, I love this passage. It says, "Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof, and a seal to them, your enemies, of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God." Hallelujah. Don't for a moment be intimidated. How dare you be intimidated? Do you even know who you are? Do you even know what's in you? Do you even know who's with you? I mean, I think about like David and Goliath. Yeah. You know, the whole army of Israel was terrified of this one dude. They were afraid of this one guy. And yet David says, he's no different than the lion or the bear. Like, do you know who's with me? Guess who's on my side? And then he battles Goliath, and of course he runs toward his giant. He doesn't run away. He doesn't flee. He runs towards the very thing that's taunting him.
Exactly. Yeah.
He runs at him with his weapon of choice. And what do we have? Our sword. We're running at the enemy and we're saying, "No, I'm going to take you down and I'm going to cut off your head. You will have no more voice in my life."
Amen.
And that's the very thing we have to do with fear. Mm-hmm. It's the very thing we have to do with fear.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, when I was younger, I used to think everything that came in my head was my thoughts. You know, I didn't realize that the enemy, he does send thoughts our way. He sends those fiery darts our way. And, you know, in Corinthians, it talks about taking those thoughts captive. We have control over what comes into our brains, and we have over control what we tell to go and take out of our brains and say, "No, I'm not thinking about that anymore." And "No, I'm not going to allow that to be a stronghold in my life and continue in my life," because we've got to combat that. We have to take the Word of God and replace those thoughts with the Word of God, because when we replace it, we are going towards the enemy. We're telling him no, and we are using our authority on top of that, but we also are using the Word of God as the sword, like you said. I think that's really key. A lot of times when we're afraid, we back up and we just get alone and we're just afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with God, we have to go towards it.
Yeah,
we have to face our fears.
And the tendency that we have, and the thoughts that we think are that we have to kind of build ourselves up. We have to appear strong. Like, if I'm going to face an enemy, well, I need to be like Rocky and hit the gym. I need to run up the stairs and down the stairs and punch the meat and do all this stuff, do a bunch of push-ups and like build ourselves up in strength, you know? And that's a lot of effort, isn't it? But yet we do that in our own lives. Like, in my instance of trying to receive my healing, I think, man, I got to watch all of these Keith Morby. I got to watch the whole series. You know how long that God's Will to Heal series is on YouTube? Hours upon hours. I watched a bunch of them. I watched about half of them. That's probably my problem. I didn't watch all of them. That's why God didn't heal me. No. The thing was, I was striving. I was trying to get something I already had. I was trying to attain something I already had been given. I was trying to work for it by my own effort. And the thing is, here's how we combat fear. We don't have to pump ourselves up. We don't have to hit the gym every single day, although that'll help you with your body and health, but not fear. Here's how you deal with fear. 1 John 4:18 in the Message. God is love. Everybody say that. God is love.
God is love.
When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. And if love is in the house is... anybody?
Packed.
Okay, come on. This way, love has the run of the house because at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. It's our identity. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. So the key really to banishing fear is to embrace the love of God. To be fully formed in His love. To realize that there's nothing I can do to attain more love from God. God already loves me with a selfless, endless, lavish love. There's nothing I can do to make Him love me more. On the contrary, there's nothing I can do to make Him love me less. He loves me. And until I'm fully, completely, wholly convinced of His love for me, I will always struggle with fear. The only thing I have to do is be convinced of His love. Only thing I have to do is receive His love. Open myself up to His love and know that He loves me. Know that He loves me regardless of my actions. Know that He loves me regardless of my attitude. Know that He loves me regardless of my effort. Know that He loves me. How do we fill up on the love of God? We see it in the Word. We see it in the Word.
I think one thing that God reminded me of, and Anthony actually shared the scripture with me, the same scripture last week we were talking in our group, because even though you overcome fear in your life, fear still tries to come. And you know, it's funny, I was just telling them that sometimes I have fear about having fear. Isn't that crazy?
The only thing to fear is fear itself.
I'm like, why would you even be afraid about, you know, having fear? You know, but he reminded me of the scripture, and it's so good, that scripture about love driving fear out of your life. And the more you soak in God's love, the more you realize how much He loves you, the more you realize, I have nothing to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing in this world stronger than Him. There's nothing in this world that can come against me, that can harm me. Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. And I think about it, if you care for anything, if you care for a child or care for an animal that's in your life, whatever you have in your care, you do everything for that animal or you do everything for that child. You watch out for them, especially when they're little. You watch out for them. I mean, my little Adelaide will go up and down these stairs, up and down. And I'm like standing behind her just, you know, trying to make sure she doesn't fall. God is a good father. He's even better than I could be a mother.
Yeah.
And He watches out for us every single day. And He looks and waits. And He never sleeps. So He's always watching out for us. And He's always looking out for our best interests. Yeah. And so when tomorrow comes, He's still there and He's still watching out for us.
That's right.
So we don't have to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe tomorrow He won't be there. He won't be there to back me up. He's faithful. He's going to back us up. He is going to always be there for us. He's in us. His strength is in us. His power is in us. Wherever we are, He is. And it's like us having our own personal bodyguard. You know, I mean, I just think of a huge dude, you know, just following us around. And everybody's like, don't mess with them.
Yeah, you already got one of those.
You need to bulk up a little bit. I'm just kidding. But one thing, as a mom, I always, you know, fear will come about your children. I mean, that's because you love them so much. You just don't want anything to happen to them. And one thing that God spoke to me is, you know, He said, you know, I've watched out for you for all your life, 33 years, and you've been fine. Really, nothing horrible has happened to me. All those things I was afraid about when I was a kid. I mean, people coming into my house, taking me, you know. I mean, those fears that you have, not one of them has come to pass. Not one of them. He's watched out for me all those years. And He said to me, He said, Kristen, just like I watched out for you I'm watching out for them. And so I just want to encourage you. He's watching out for us.
Yes.
He's looking out for us, and he is absolutely loving the fact that he's there for us and that he is helping us in every single way. So yeah. I think if we can really tap into his love, we could live a fearless life. I feel like that is possible, to live a fearless life. What could we do? I mean, if we we had no fear.
Yeah. And there's nothing that would hold us back. Nothing would hold us back. You think about the instances where you've experienced the emotion of fear. And fear is just that. It's an emotion. It's not this big, ugly brute that's going to rip your head off and use it as a basketball or something. But we give it that place in our lives so often. We shouldn't be magnifying fear. We should be magnifying God and his love for us. And so as we close, let's just reflect on his love for us in prayer. God, I'm so grateful for your love. We recognize that we do have an enemy and he has some tricks up his sleeve, but they're nothing compared to your love. Nothing compared to the greatness of your power within us. You've infused us with your love. You've shed abroad your love in our hearts. We are overflowing with the love of God. And Father, I pray for each of us that we would be fully formed in love. And as we're fully formed in love, your love banishes fear. Your love makes fear disappear. And Father, we thank you for your love tonight. We receive your love in a greater measure. Thank you, Lord. Just open up your heart to him right now and receive his love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. I receive your love. I don't have to work for it or earn it or do anything to attain it. You've already poured it out freely for us. You gave us the best gift. You gave us Jesus. How much more will you freely give us all things? There's nothing that we're facing tomorrow that we have to fear. There's nothing that we're facing tonight that we have to worry about. Everything's going to be taken care of. It's all going to fall into place as we reflect on your love and we just rest. We rest in your love. No more striving. No more working to make something happen. Oh, we just rest in your love. Rest in your love. Receive your love tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your magnificent, overwhelming, indescribable love for us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And may we completely be forever changed by your love. May we leave here different because of your love. Yeah, better because of your love. More filled, more joyful because of your love. Oh, yeah. Yeah, complete absence of fear because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hope that helped you tonight. Do not fear, for he is with you. Be blessed.